Hey, let's open our Bibles this evening to Job chapter 1. We're going to be in part 4 of spiritual warfare. Part 4 of spiritual warfare. Last week we learned that we have to put on the whole armor of God to fight against the strategies of the wicked one. And tonight we see a man who is involved in the battle. He was a soldier. He was in the battle, and he learned to never give up. And that's one thing about our fight. We never give up. We fight all the way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is victorious. He has won the battle for us. He's won the war for us. And we will never, ever be defeated. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Amen? And Satan will not have victory over you. You will go through tremendous warfare against the enemy, spiritually, mentally, and sometimes physically, even with your family. But we fight to the end, till we reach heaven. And Job is a great example of this warfare when it comes to spiritual warfare against Satan himself. I can't tell you why a lot of things happen in life to us. They just happen. Sometimes it's just the way of our world. Sometimes it's just we reap what we sow. Sometimes we have to own it. Amen? If you drink your whole life, you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver, right? If you do drugs, you may fry your brain. That's just how it is. If you live promiscuously, you may get a disease that may kill you down the long haul. Certain things we reap. Sometimes things just happen. You lose your job because the economy goes south. The company has to make cutbacks. It just happens. But God is always with us, no matter what happens in life. But we have to be real, we have to be honest, we have to be true in everything we encounter. And yes, there are spiritual attacks of Satan, or he will directly come against us. I've learned not to blame everything on Satan. Satan this, Satan that, Satan, 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 Satan. I have to evaluate and find out what is going on. Is it me? Is it just the way the world is? Or is it a direct attack of the enemy? And that takes what we call discernment. And Job is living a great life. Everything is wonderful. He's got a big family. He's very wealthy. He works hard. He's a man of integrity. I mean, everything is great. You look at this guy and his wife and his family and say, what a perfect life. Everything is so good. And then one day, everything falls apart. Everything. And yes, it is a spiritual attack of Satan. Now, you have to realize, too, he doesn't quite figure it out. But God is doing a work. God is displaying a testimony in heaven and on earth in the life of a man who will not leave God. But what Job will do will learn about God throughout this trial, this tribulation of life. So when you face tough times as a Christian, always ask the Lord, Lord, what can I learn from this? How are you developing my character? How are you deepening my relationship with you? Don't get angry with God. It won't do you any good. Don't run away from God. You got nobody. Draw close to the Lord. He will draw close to you. Ask him for wisdom. He'll give it to you liberally. He'll speak to your heart. Trust in him. Acknowledge him. And he will take care of you. But in the process, there's something that's going to take place in your life. Is the richness of Christ that will become full within you. Also, what God will do in this trial and tribulation that you go through, he's going to show you yourself. Because many times we're shallow. We tend to say, I got it all together, man. Everything's good. Or even we can be self-righteous. And God says, no. You need to learn some things. And they're way deep. and I've got to go to the bottom. I'm going to cut it out. It's going to hurt. But you're going to learn. Because these things you don't like to deal with, you don't want to look at, you don't want to admit. But these are areas of your life that need to change. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring them to the surface. And you're going to face them head on. We don't like that. Job is going to face that. In the midst of this trial, in the midst of this attack, there are many things that Job will learn. Now, we're not going to read the whole book. We're going to take in the first two chapters and the last chapter, summarize it, and learn from it. So here we have Job, the soldier, the battle, and never give up. In chapter 1, it's Satan versus God, evil versus good. Let's begin our reading. There was a man in the land of Uz, not the land of Oz. Okay, it's not the Wizard of Oz. The land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. So the first thing we recognize about Job is his character is great. This man has great character. He is blameless. He is upright. He fears God. He reverences God. He honors God. And he doesn't like evil. He shuns it. When it comes knocking on his door, he keeps that door closed. He's blameless. Nobody can say anything bad about Job. What a good guy. He's honest. His business dealings are upright, good. Man, this guy's awesome. You can trust Job. So what a good testimony this man has. And we all applaud it. We say, hey, I should be like that. And seven sons and three daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. This guy was filthy rich. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So we also recognize that Job's family and wealth, he has a large family, he has a lot of wealth, he's a man of worship, and he's a man of intercession. He's a great guy. He's excellent. Now, he is trying to cover for his children by these offerings and interceding for them, which we all intercede for each other, which is good. Although we can't save our children have to make a decision for Christ themselves. Now, in verses 6 and 7, we find the battle begins. We have Satan, the adversary, showing up, really, on the doorstep of God and the doorstep of Job. But God calls Satan to try his servant Job. So the adversary, which we learn in 1 Peter 5, 8-11, we learn for our lives as Christians, we need to be sober, that is, of a sound mind, self-controlled. We need to be vigilant, that means on the watch, because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, it's not as if God says, I want you to suffer. It's just a reality that in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to go through things. As you live in godliness as a Christian, the Bible declares you will suffer persecution. So when you stand for Christ, you stand for what is right, When you call things out that are wrong, people will come against you. The whole world will come against you. And this is the age we're living in right now. As you speak up in regards to God, in regards to righteousness, in regards to, let's just say, homosexuality is not right before God, and God didn't make us this way, you're going to get persecuted for your belief. You're going to be called a bigot. You're going to be called a homophobe. And on it goes. Or if you stand up against abortion and say abortion is wrong, God doesn't want us sacrificing our babies at the altar of Molech. God wants babies to be born. He doesn't want them cut up and diced up in the womb and then sucked out with a vacuum. You're against a woman's choice. You're a woman hater, you male pig. No. I love babies. And a baby shouldn't pay the price for anything. Think about what you're doing to the baby, Democrats, Planned Parenthood, and any Republicans that agree. Think about the baby. We're sold a bill of goods. We're sold lies. It's just a blob of tissue. So wrong. So this is our warfare. The adversary comes against us. And as we live godly, as we stand for righteousness, as we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, we're ridiculed and we're mocked. Don't you dare pray in Jesus' name. Don't you talk about Jesus in school. That football team better not pray before that game. What has happened to our country? Keep your Bibles out of here. Those that live godly will suffer persecution. The enemy's influence, the darkness, the evil, keeps coming like waves. But we have to shine brighter, amen? We have to be bolder, amen? We have to be stronger, amen? We will not back down, we will not give up, we will not cower, we'll face them head on, and we'll declare the truth. Because we're Christians. Not even death can hold us. So we have nothing to fear. This is our warfare. Now Job did not realize what was going to happen to him. Life was good. But he was sucker punched by the enemy. Now there was a day when the sons of God, angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan, which we know as Lucifer, also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." In other words, my territory, planet Earth, it's mine. I just go back and forth and to and fro. I got everybody doing what I want them to do. I love the wars. I love the famines. I love the diseases. I love the death. I love the molestations. I love the abuse. I love the drugs. I love the alcoholism. I love the immoralities. I've just been going back and forth across the earth, doing my thing. And everybody follows me. The Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" When I read this, I always think of the arrogance of Satan. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The only reason Job serves you is because he's been blessed by you and he's rich. Now, this is so vitally important for us. My service to God, my love for God is because Jesus Christ died for me, period. If your relationship with God is based on what you get from God or what blessings you have or your prosperity, your salvation is based on the wrong idea, the wrong premise. It's important for us to realize that we are sinners destined for hell. All of our sins bring judgment upon our souls. And it is Jesus Christ who took our sins in judgment and punishment upon himself for us. And thus we're saved through his precious blood and death and resurrection. Because there are times in life where the blessings aren't going to be there for you, or everything's going to collapse and fall apart. Now, we don't wish that, do we? We want everything to go smooth till we go home to be with the Lord. But sometimes things happen. And if our relationship is based on that, then we're in trouble. We'll leave the Lord. We'll walk away from the faith. So Satan says the only reason Job serves you is because you have blessed him. Satan, the adversary, always against us, always trying to get us to fall, to stumble, to leave God. And this is his strategy. You have to, the Bible says to learn the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil. How is he strategizing to take you away from the faith, to get you to leave Jesus Christ? What's going on in your life right now? Where you're going to make ungodly decisions, unbiblical decisions. Maybe there's a rift in your marriage. You're thinking, maybe I should just get divorced. Maybe your health has not been that good and maybe I should just go this direction. Maybe your finances are in trouble and all of a sudden you see an opportunity that's a little bit, maybe a lot shady. Who's going to know? Maybe I just tell this little lie that'll get me out of trouble here. See, no matter what, we have to face what's going on in real life and deal with it with God. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to realize something here. God knows Job. In Job's life, it's going to get hammered, okay? Devastated. What God is going to do with Job, though, is this. He's going to use him as a powerful, powerful testimony to others. When you face the trials of life, a disease, financial difficulties, situations in life that can be overwhelming, you are either going to rise and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to collapse and crumble. Now, God will be there to pick you up, but he wants to use you as a testimony that you live for God, you serve God, you honor God no matter what. Because your relationship with God is based on what Jesus has done for you upon the cross and nothing else. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, he used the term fire of God, and basically it was lightning that came down and started a fire and burned everything up. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, they're not music bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So one after another after another. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you imagine going through a test like this? One moment, you have everything. The next moment, it's all gone. One moment, you have all this happy family and children. The next moment, they're all dead. Now, this happens in life. Tragedies happen. Wars happen. People are destroyed, wiped out. Families are lost. Possessions are lost. Where are we going to go? We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Job responds in worship. Job responds in prayer. Job responds in trusting in God. He recognizes that all of life is in the hand of God. From his birth, his conception to birth, to his life, everything he's ever received, and then to his death. The concept of Job is what we need to have about life itself. What we do understand as Christians is this: no matter what happens, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to go to heaven. In this world, I'll have tribulation, but I won't have it in heaven. In this life, I will have death, but I won't have it in heaven. You see, my friends, it is the perspective, it is the attitude, it is the heart of what God wants us to have when it comes to him and eternity. This world is fallen. This world is a mess. The enemy is raging, and so we fight. Here we found the assaults of Satan against Job. Devastation and destruction. How does Satan assault our faith? The lie, God doesn't care. He wants to tell you that God doesn't care about you. Look what you're going through. He doesn't care about you. If there was a God in heaven, he would do something. He would have helped. He would have stopped these things. He would have blocked that car accident. God doesn't care about you. Go back to the basics. God cares so much about me, he sent his only begotten son to die a bloody death on the cross for my sins. God cares. Whenever I go through tough times, I go right back to the cross of Jesus Christ. That displays to me the magnificent, incredible, deep, rich, perfect love of God for my soul. And everything he has spoken to me from the Word of God is true. In this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want you to turn with me quickly to Mark's Gospel chapter 4 in the New Testament. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, you get to Luke, you've gone too far. There's a situation here with the disciples. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side, cross the Sea of Galilee." Let's get in a boat. Let's go on over. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. And as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Probably had my pillow. He was sleeping pretty good. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I want you to just bite into that for a moment. Because that's what happens with us so many times in life. Don't you care, Lord, that all these things are happening to me? Don't you care, Lord, that I'm perishing? Now listen. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Now I want you to take those three words, stick them in your memory bank, and don't ever forget them. Peace, be still. Don't fight, don't argue, just trust me. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Why are you so fearful?" Because that's what happens to us. We get consumed with fear because a doctor says to us, "You have cancer." A doctor says, "You have diabetes." A doctor, your financial whoever, you know, you look at your bank account, how's that? I don't know how many of us might have a financial advisor, I don't. You say, "Hey, you know, this bill, oh no, what's going to happen, oh no." Peace, be still. Let God be God. Don't be afraid. You and I must have active faith. Active faith. That was the way of Job. Job had active faith. He worshiped, he trusted, and he prayed. Proverbs 3, 5, and 9 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, reverence God, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." With all your heart, with all your mind, acknowledge him. "Lord, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure this thing out. But I know this much. I trust you." When I had my third heart attack on the table there and all that stuff happened, and I was wondering, "Lord, what's going to happen next? Am I going to need a heart transplant? How much is this going to cost?" My mind was just going every which way. And it was like the Lord just said, "Peace, be still, Daryl. Trust me. Aye, aye, sir. I'll take care of you." Okay. Doctors weren't sure what was going on with me. They couldn't figure it out at that moment in time. And I realized my only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ for life and eternity. Now listen, keep reading. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can do this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" In other words, if Jesus can calm the stormy seas and the winds and all that, if he can walk on water, he can feed the multitudes, surely he can take care of me, amen? He can raise people from the grave. He can cast out demons. He heals the blind, the lame, the deaf, of leprosy and all kinds of diseases. He does all these things. I can trust him. If it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. Just chalk it up. It's time. And you're going to go. And thank goodness, you're out of here. No more taxes. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife always says to me, "I better go before you because I don't want you leaving me behind having to pay the bills and all that stuff." Okay, honey, whatever. Keep me going then. Keep feeding me. We'll do good. Go to chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Why does he do that? Because he really doesn't want Jesus to, the demons don't want Jesus to mess with them, so they're trying to play coy. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine there. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. You'd think they'd be rejoicing. And those who saw it told him how it had happened to him, who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. When he got into the boat, and he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him, with Jesus. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now, I share this story with you because here this man is greatly demon-possessed with many demons. And Jesus shows us how to deal with it. Jesus shows us he's victorious. Jesus shows us he's the Almighty, the all-powerful one. And he cast these demons into these swine, the pigs, and they began to make bacon and jump off the cliff. Amen? I'm hamming it up. I'm sorry. But here we find the power of Christ over demons. So what I want you to understand is, peace be still. He can control the weather, the seas, the winds. And he has power over the enemy, so we trust in Jesus Christ for all things. Amen? Go back to Job. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Health to your flesh. Don't be afraid. Peace, be still. Health to your flesh. Health to your, get rid of the anxiety, get rid of the nerves. Just go to prayer and say, "Lord, this is yours. You knew it was coming. This is not news to you. I give it to you, Lord. I just need to know what to do with it." Job puts his faith to action. He worships, he prays, he trusts. And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Go to chapter 2. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Still he holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape, in other words, a clay that was a clay pot. He broke it, took the broken piece, and began to scrape himself where he sat in the midst of the ashes. The boils, flaming, itching, oozing, the pain, the agony. Then his wife said to Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. In other words, all this has happened to us. We've lost all of our wealth. We're poor as you can be. We have lost all of our children. And now you're totally diseased. Just curse God and die. I think she's actually saying that as a way of just saying, go ahead, don't stay alive for me, just go and die. I don't think she's blaming him. She just says, just go ahead and die, because just go. Because look at the agony you're in. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we indeed accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity he had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite. By the way, he's the smallest guy in the Bible. He's only a Shuhite. I know you thought Nehemiah was small because he's Nehemiah, but he's the Shuhite. Never mind. And Zophar, the Nahamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. When they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him because he was so boiled out, they lifted their voices and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. When I was about 18 years old, I wasn't saved. I got saved at 21. My friends and I would go to the Colorado River. Actually, we'd go to Lake Havasu. My friend had a really cool speedboat, and he had his parents had a motorhome on the island there. You go across the London Bridge on the island, and we would go there when we have a spring break and all that stuff. That's before spring break was even big over there. We were trailblazers. And we would just go and ski our brains out. Water ski, okay? Loved water ski. And we would just ski all across Lake Havasu. It was great. And of course, in doing that, you get super sunburned, right? Because it's hot out there in the desert and all that. And you get super sunburned and just have a great time. And so anyway, I get back from this trip. And all of a sudden, I break out in all these spots on my face and my body. I mean, spots that then turn into like big blisters. And I look in the mirror, and I'm telling you, it's all over my face. It's not just one or two, three. I mean, all over my forehead, my nose, my cheeks, my lips. I mean, everything. My chest, my back, my legs. I'm like, ah, you know. Here you're an 18-year-old and you think you're really cool, right? And you look like a monster. I looked in the mirror and I just started crying. And my mom's looking at me going, what has happened to my son? My dad's looking at me. My dad's a pharmacist. And he's going, what in the world's happened to you? And I go to the doctor, and we go to the doctor. The doctor looks at me and goes, man, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm like, what a miserable comforter you are. Now, I didn't know the word of God or nothing like that, but I just thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be like the ugliest, freakiest looking dude ever, you know, because that's where I looked. And then the doctor keeps looking at me, keeps looking at me. And this is like almost 20 minutes. He's trying to figure this out. He goes, you got the chicken pox. I go, okay, well, why is it so bad? He goes, because you're so sunburnt. It just blew everything up, like magnified it. And he goes, you got the chicken pox. That's what it is. And, of course, I know you look at me and I go, did it ever go away? No, it went away. But I, when I read the story of Job and these boils, I think back at that moment. I go, man, it was freaking and painful too, you know? Wow. And here comes his three friends and they're looking at him like, whoa, dude, you're messed up. This is bad. And there are times when you're with somebody who's suffering, it's best just to listen. We can't figure things out. Just be there with them and just comfort them and listen to them and pray with them. It's the best thing we could do. But don't try to figure it all out. Well, maybe you did this, or maybe you did that. This is what Job's friends began to do. And the rest of the book is dealing with Job and his life bouncing back and forth and trying to figure things out and them saying these things to him and all this stuff. Now Job's wife, I got to get back to her a little bit here because it's a tough time. And she's, you know, let me just touch upon Paul first of all. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because when things happen to us physically, it can be just something that happens to us, or it could be attack from the enemy. We got a lot of diseases in our world. We got a lot of things going around being transmitted, and things just happen. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about an attack that he had directly from Satan. It says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one who is caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What is the lesson here? God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In other words, Paul had an air about him, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, but that he could have been self-exalted. But this kept him humble, and it kept him tight with God and dependent upon God. And so this thorn in the flesh, this buffeting that he had from the enemy, made him stronger in Christ and less dependent upon his intellect and upon his flesh. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Now, did you hear what he said? I got to read this again. Because one of those passages that says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. In other words, no matter what comes in life, it's for Christ. I'll do it. It doesn't matter. This man had been tried. He'd been tested. He'd been put through the fires of adversity. And he realized that it's all for Christ. Everything is a testimony for Christ. You see what he's saying? It's all about my testimony for Christ. And this is what Job was going to learn. It's all about the testimony of God, of Christ, for other people's salvation, that they would believe in God, because no matter what, your faith cannot be shaken. You will not leave Jesus Christ. So when you're in that adversity, when you're in that persecution, when you're in that infirmity, when you're going through it, stay strong, my friend. Stay strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will pass. Paul says, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. When I had my third heart attack and I was walking down the hallway of the hospital and they're trying to figure out what to do with me, on the next day, they put a temporary pacemaker on me. They literally ran it into my vein here in my neck, into my heart, and they taped the pacemaker on my neck. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? And of course, I ended up with a pacemaker permanently. But I said, Lord, why is this happening to me? I'm 32 years old. I've tried to serve you since I've been 21. I've just done my best. And that was the verse that spoke to me right there. The Holy Spirit brought this verse to my remembrance. Daryl, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's all I needed. The Holy Spirit's job, intimately, is to speak to us and to bring scriptures to our remembrance. So I said, okay, Lord. I kept walking with my little IV thing and keeping my thing, you know. You know how it is. I don't know why they give you those silly robes. But anyway, we find here, Paul the Apostle teaches us that God's grace is sufficient, that we need to trust God, that when we're weak, He is strong in us. In other words, we shine brighter than ever. We also know that Satan attacked the marriage of Job through these circumstance situations. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I want you to be aware of this because he'll attack your marriage. In James chapter 3, go to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what else does it say? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. In other words, if you're envious of the things of the world, and let's say you got married as a young couple and you guys both had good jobs and everything was going great and all the bills were being paid and you got the nice cars and the nice home, everything's good. But then all of a sudden, that spouse loses the job and all of a sudden you lose your house and all of a sudden you can't afford those nice cars, you can't find that job, and things are falling apart. Which way are you going to go? Is your marriage built upon the things of the world and self-seeking, or is it built upon Jesus Christ? This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what else? Demonic. You know that people actually will kill their spouse for the insurance policy? Yeah. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then peaceable. Gentle. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, Job's wife, she should have just prayed. Amen. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I know she's emotional. I know it's tragic. I know we understand it. We can relate. It's that we're not judging. We're just saying we can relate. But spiritually, what should you have done? God, we trust in you. Me and my husband. Me and my husband, we trust in you. And again, she may be saying curse God and die. And in other words, just be done with your life. Because you are so enraged with this. These boils, man. I want you to go with me to chapter 42 of Job. We're going to end here. The last chapter of Job. It is James who tells us, he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." That means you are growing in the image of God, in the life of Christ. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved with various trials, and that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love." In other words, when we go through these trials, when we go through these situations, these tough times, God wants us to keep pushing forward as a great testimony to others. Satan cannot destroy us or defeat us. Neither can this world. And God wants us to testify of his great love to all through endurance. It is Warren Wiersbe who wrote, "When life is difficult, it is easy to give up, but giving up is the worst thing we can do." A professor of history said, "If Columbus had turned back, nobody would have blamed him, but nobody would have remembered him either. If you want to be memorable, sometimes you have to be miserable." So true. In Job 42, Job never gives up on God, which is to his credit, and God never gives up on Job. But God is teaching Job about life and himself. It is C.I. Schofield, the great Bible commentator and author, he says, as he gives an analysis of Job's experiences with God, he says, number one, Job's experiences opened his eyes more fully to the ineffable holiness of God. Because Job had self-righteousness in his own heart, and God had to remove it. Because only God is holy and righteous in all his ways. Secondly, the sufferings of Job are shown to be corrective rather than penal, a punishment, being used of God to test and refine his character. We find that in Job 23:10. Thirdly, the outcome demonstrates that by God's grace, his people trust and serve him because of what he is, not his mere return for temporal benefits, Job 13:15. Fourthly, such experiences are interpreted here by divine inspiration, reveal the ultimate triumph of a wise and loving God in his unseen contest with Satan over the souls of men, as we read in chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 42, verses 1 to 6, we find Job's confession and repentance. He comes to this place of saying, God, I confess my sins to you. And let's watch what happens. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job comes to that place of recognizing that God is God, God is holy, God is righteous all his ways. All the self-righteousness of Job is now removed. Because so many times we think, God's so lucky to have us. No. We need all of God and none of us. As John the Baptist says, I must decrease, he must what? Increase. Amen. Let a man deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me, Jesus said. Job confesses his sins, he repents. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. John the Beloved, in that great passage in 1 John 1:8 through chapter 2, verse 2, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. In other words, habitually practice sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You know, I do marriage counseling at times, and most of the times the staff is doing it these days. But the number one goal is to get that husband and that wife to recognize their sins before God and before each other. Once we get there, now we can move forward to repentance. Stop doing these things. Stop being so prideful, so arrogant, so egotistical, so conceited, so unkind, so selfish. Stop it. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now we have repentance. But now we have to be consistent day by day. There are times we go through things in life where we're just broken before God and we repent before God. And then God builds us up once again. God corrects the miserable comforters of Job, those friends who weren't much help. So it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar Nahamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each one a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren Hapuk. He, in all the land, were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. Now, let's think about this. Let's sum it up. Let's end here. No matter what happens in life, where are we going? Heaven. Forever. New body. Streets paved with gold. All is incredible. No matter what happens in this life, we're going to heaven. Stay focused on the cross of Christ and where you're headed, which is heaven. Always stay focused on God. Stay focused on who He is, what He does in your life. He will bless you. The enemy will attack. He'll stab you in the back. He'll punch you in the face. He'll stomp on you when you're down. He'll try to choke you out, but Jesus Christ is with you. And you keep calling upon the name of Jesus. He's going to take care of you. He's going to guide you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. He's going to bless you. He'll take care of you all the way for eternity. Amen? This is our God. This is the battle we're in, and we will never, ever give up. And all God's people said, let's have communion. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your loving grace and kindness. Now, Lord, we want to have communion as the first Sunday of the month. And Lord Jesus, I don't know everybody here, but you do, and you know who's saved and who's not saved. You died for all our sins, and you offer salvation to all who believe in you, but you want to have a personal commitment where this individual will say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please be my Savior. And then you'll come into their heart, begin to change their life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you'd like to get saved, then please raise your hand. Anybody here not saved and you want to get saved, raise your hand. Anybody here? Father, as we have this time of communion, we celebrate the love and the life, the death, the resurrection of your Son, our Savior. Lord Jesus, we want to tell you that we love you. We thank you for all that you've given us and all that you are doing. So, Lord, may your hand of blessing be upon your people. And we celebrate who you are and what you've done right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.